Thank you. Good morning. It seems like there are a lot of announcements this morning. First of all, next Sunday is the collection day for non-perishable food items for the Agape Kids Community Kitchen. Boxes of cereal, granola bars, juice boxes, fruit cups, peanut butters, and non-perishable things for lunch. You can pick up a copy of the fourth quarter budget report at the back of the church. February 3rd, that's next week, the Cornwall Interfaith Partnership has an event to recognize the United Nations World Interfaith Harmony. It is from 2 to 4 here. Any questions? Speak to Carolyn Ruda. February 13th, as my favorite cartoon said, Friday the 13th comes on a Tuesday in February. The Pancake Supper from 5 to 7. Volunteer if you can and let Carolyn Ruda know. On the 16th of March, there is a craft and art show here. If you want a table, speak to Carolyn and reserve it for $25. We're looking for people to take pictures of congregational, events, just life and happenings. Carolyn will take your...
You're a busy girl.
This is to do with Debbie. She is collecting for the Broadview magazine, $30 for the next year's issues. And on February 20th, there will be a UCW gathering here at 1:30. Carolyn will be leading worship January 21st and 28th, while Reverend Aaron is participating in her leadership training. In case of pastoral emergencies, please call Reverend Min Huang, and the number is at the top of this bulletin. And I think that's it. Thank you.
Welcome, everyone. It's so nice to see everybody, especially on such a cold morning. But have you noticed how warm the church is? That's awesome, eh? That sun that's pouring in here is doing its job, and we're really grateful for that. And we can never, ever start a worship service here without recognizing the territory on which this building sits. As we begin this time of worship, we remember that we are situated on the traditional lands of the Iroquois, Mohawk, and Huron-Wendat. We acknowledge and give thanks for the enduring presence of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people on this land. We are committed to moving forward in the spirit of reconciliation and respect.
Save me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Save me, Lord.
That kind of captures the theme for this morning, because we're going to be talking about when Jesus gathered his first disciples, who are fishermen. So for just this hour, listen to my word. Think about your life as my disciple. Pray. Sing. Come, let us worship God. We are partners, participants in the work of God. We come as seekers. We come as followers, not understanding the one we follow. Holy One, by your grace, meet us where we are. Meet us here. Meet us now. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is, Jesus, you have come to the lake shore.
Me.
Jesus comes alongside us and calls us by name. A simple call. A hard call. And we look around to see who else Jesus could be talking to. It's hard to leave our nets and walk away from the lake, but we have come this far. Beloved disciples, go forth today in the assurance that whether you answer the first time, the second time, or the 100th time, God never stops calling, never stops guiding, never stops forming you, because God's love never fails. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now we are going to sing verses 1 to 3 of Simon, Simon, a Fisherman. You will notice there's something missing here this morning. When it comes to this time, the children that usually are here don't seem to be here. And Dawn is working downstairs, and Dominique is helping her. So last week, Dawn and I talked, and I said that for this Sunday, the scripture reading from the Old Testament is about Jonah, but it's the story after our favorite part, which is Jonah and the whale. So I thought I would do Jonah and the whale with you folks. So Jonah's here, and he has a tale to tell. Now, I was going to start by telling the children, because I had all kinds of pictures here, that showing them, first of all, how big a whale can be, which can stretch from one end of the sanctuary to the other, and how very tiny we are compared to the whales. Now, Jonah, he was a pretty good guy, and he prayed to God a lot to help him, and he wanted, really, to help other people and be there for other people. But then is one day God asked him to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was the worst place you could ever want to be, especially if you were an Israelite. They were very abusive and bad people living in Nineveh. And God told Jonah, go there. And he says, really? Do I have to? Isn't there somebody else? I don't want to go there. He had never been to Nineveh, but the stories he had heard. And especially when he was an Israelite himself, were not good ones. So he packed all his stuff up, and he got out onto the road, and he thought, that way to Nineveh, this way away from Nineveh, as far as I can go. See, he's getting tired already. And he thought, even better than traveling on the road, I'm going to get on the first ship I can see, which he did. And God thought to himself, he's not doing what I told him to do. So maybe I better wake him up a bit. So he sent this huge storm. And a lot of times the boats were used to big storms, and so they were used to handling it. But this one was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so they were throwing things off, trying to make the boat lighter and everything else. And Jonah said, I really know what the problem is. The problem is me. I was supposed to do something for God, and I'm not doing it. So throw me over, which they did. And at that point, this huge whale came up and gobbled him up, where he stayed for 3 days inside the belly of the whale. And in all that time, you can imagine, he was in there praying and praying and praying and praying. Okay, God, I'm going to do what you say. Please, please, just let me out of here. Yeah, I can't spend the rest of my life in here. And so 3 days later, the whale goes up to the beach and spits him out. He was a little worse for wear, having been in the belly for 3 days. I mean, he had seaweed all over him. He had fish hanging out of him. He was in bad shape. But he did go to Nineveh. And the people listened to him. And they went from being bad people to being good people and listening to God. So that's always a fun story. But what does it mean to us? It means that we have to listen, because sometimes God is calling us, and God does want us to do something. It wasn't just back in biblical times, but right now, God wants us to do something. Even if it's just being nice to that person that you really don't like. So that's our story of Jonah and the whale for this week. And now we are going to continue with Simon.
You can be.
Let us pray together. Wondrous Spirit, gather our minds that they may be one with you. Open our ears that they may hear your word. Soften our hearts that they may receive your wisdom. Speak to us, for we, your servants, are listening. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 and verse 10. Next, God spoke to Jonah a second time. Up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh. Preach to them. They're in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer. This time, Jonah started off straight for Nineveh, obeying God's orders to the letter. Nineveh was a big city, very big. It took 3 days to walk across it. Jonah entered the city, went 1 day's walk, and preached. In 40 days, Nineveh will be smashed. The people of Nineveh listened and trusted God. They proclaimed a citywide fast, and dressed in burlap to show their repentance. Everyone did it, rich and poor, famous and obscure, leaders and followers. God saw what they had done, that they had turned away from their evil lives. He did change his mind about them. What he said he would do to them, he didn't do. From the New Testament, Mark, first chapter, verses 14 to 20. After John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee, preaching the message of God. Time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message. Passing along the beach of Lake Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew net fishing. Fishing was their regular work. Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." They didn't ask questions. They dropped their nets and followed. A dozen yards or so down the beach, he saw the brothers James and John, Zebedee's sons. They were in the boat mending their fish nets. Right off, he made the same offer. Immediately, they left their father Zebedee, the boat, and the hired hands, and followed. May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul's United Church to hear God's continuing call to us. I'm setting you up in public ministry so that my presence through you becomes known to all who journey alone.
Thank you so much, Judy. Having grown up in New Brunswick, I can see Jesus and the fishermen. It comes easy to me. The fisheries have always been the main topic of conversation in New Brunswick because fishing was an important and still is an important part of the economy of the Maritimes. The fisheries news is on the radio every day. Our dinners were the catch of the day that my grandmother purchased that morning at the docks, or lobster feeds at my dad's cousin's farm, as he was a farmer, school bus driver, and lobster fisherman. Just as I am sure Jesus saw fishermen all the time when he was growing up, and in his travels afterwards, I can then visualize what it was like that day Jesus called Simon, Andrew, James, and John to be fishers of men. I can see their weather-beaten faces, their roughened hands, their determined looks, rarely glamorous and often demanding, challenging, the life of a commercial fisherman is similar to that of a family farmer. The work is hard and long, exposed to harsh weather and the risk of working at sea. The commercial fishing operation is frequently a family venture, with information and techniques and equipment passed on down through the generations, just as it was in Jesus' time. Peter and Andrew, James and John were commercial fishermen. There was nothing recreational about what their work was. They spent long and sometimes back-breaking hours in small boats. They spent all their time worrying about whether there is going to be a sudden storm come up. They knew times of abundance when their nets were full to overflowing. Those successful nights. But they also knew those nights when cast after cast came back with nothing in their nets. But they knew the importance of staying at it in good weather and bad, in lean times and in good times. And they knew the hours at sea were only part of the work. There were the times to prepare, times to check and mend the nets, times to repair the boat. They knew a night of fishing did not end at sunrise. As much as how tired they were and just wanted to go home to bed, they knew that they had to sell their catch to the merchants. The nets and the boat needed to be put away carefully, ready for the next time. That was their life. All they knew, what they had to bring to the table when Jesus asked them to come follow him. But if you were Jesus and you were asked to choose men who would turn the world upside down, would you have picked fishermen? What vocation would you draw from? Journalists? Every day they reach out to millions of people through newspapers, magazines, radio, internet, and TV. They are the reason that we see what is happening inside war-torn countries. Or teachers. Jesus would choose teachers as his disciples because his number one goal was to get the gospel out there. So no better profession was suitable for that role than teachers. Social workers. His teachings involved feeding the hungry and taking care of the poor, orphans and widows. Social workers would be the best people for the job. Doctors and nurses, as they have compassion and concern for those that are in pain mentally or physically. But instead, Jesus chose fishermen. I think it was for some of the following reasons. Fishermen know how to work together, especially in Jesus' day, when they manly had to pull in the fish in those nets. It would have been really hard if it was left up to one person. It had to be all of them pulling those nets in. We had to work as a team. Fishermen are dedicated. Fishing requires a great deal of patience and dedication. Fishermen might go hours, perhaps days, without even a nibble. Giving up, though, is not an option for them. A fisherman's dedication pushes them to keep on fishing. Fishermen are courageous. Fishing can require a person to travel into deep and treacherous waters. It is common even today for fishermen to be caught up in fierce storms while in the open sea. It is their courage which pushes them to go back into the water after experiencing one of those storms. Jesus knew life would be rough and tough, so he gives us an encouraging command to have courage in face of fear. When Jesus found these fishermen, they were casting their nets. They weren't telling someone else how to do it. They were getting their hands dirty and doing the work themselves. These were the men he chose to carry on his vision of sharing the gospel. They were quiet guys who worked hard with their hands to get the job done in less than ideal conditions. Myself, I actually take a lot of comfort in knowing that Jesus chose men who were not superheroes. Instead, they were hard-working people like you and me. They were fishermen, as were their fathers before them. He picked men from one of the most common occupations in the region, made them his disciples, so that they could become the movers and shakers of Christianity. Not only did he choose these men, he basically kept their title. Fishermen became fishers of men. But as we go through the Gospels and we hear the stories of Jesus and his journey with these disciples, we learn how down to earth they could be. We learn that at times they could be self-absorbed, unfeeling, self-promoting, weak, and selfish. And they so often got things wrong. And I'm sure there was the occasional swear word that came out of them. In other words, Jesus did not call the perfect to do his work on earth. No, fortunately, it was people like you and me, with all our imperfections, warts and all. Some of them, people who tell the stories of this fisherman, would say they were ordinary. But I take objection to the word ordinary. None of us are ordinary. The dictionary says ordinary is. Ordinary people or things are normal and not special or different in any way. I look at this congregation, this church family, and I see a room full of people with their own unique qualities, their own gifts to share with others that no one else can provide. We are rich because of what we can offer this church. And not only this church, but out there in the community. Amongst us, we have the people who have a heart full of love an ear ready to listen, a hand ready to reach out to help others, a smile to brighten someone's day, words to encourage or comfort, feet to walk when others cannot. God made us into unique people, the unique people that St. Teresa of Avila said back in the 15th century, and it still holds true today. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion onto this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Let us pray. Loving God, we come into your presence with singing and praying. We come, each one with our own unique strengths and weaknesses. Together, we are your children. Thank you for the creation in your love of a space where we are accepted as we are, where we can breathe, be honest, learn, and grow. Thank you for meeting with us here. Thank you for brothers and sisters in our church family. You teach and empower us to live together, to love our neighbors as ourselves. God, for this we thank you. Amen. The hymn we're going to sing now is "Take My Life and Let It Be."
Thank you.
is the time that we call faith sharing, a time when we can come up here and tell our story about how Jesus has touched us, either this week or even this morning, or if something that has happened along the way that you would like to share with the congregation this morning. No one wants to speak this morning. We will sit in holy silence.
Hi everyone, I'm Sophie, and what I wanted to share today is whenever I was a kid, my mom would always get calls from the school or report cards that would say, "Sophie talks a lot." I would never stop talking, and to this day I still do. And before the New Year's came, I think God put in my heart to share my gift, which is talking and sharing. So it's beautiful, actually, that in the messages that we got today, it actually says, you know, that God, we are kind of like God's body. Our body carries God's message. And it's actually God, yeah, so, yeah, sorry, I'm trying to rewind there. Yeah, so what I did was, because God called on me to share, so what I decided to do is I make these little videos, and I share them on my Facebook. So I said, so every day what I'm grateful for, that's basically what the message is. And, you know, I make it funny, or I just, sometimes I'm not feeling too well, and I still share. Because, I mean, it's part of life. Some days you feel super good, and some days, you know, your energy is low, and especially without the sun, it's sometimes it's hard, you know, our batteries are feeling a little depleted. So that's what I started to do, and I just, you know, send it in the universe, and actually I have like 400 friends. I know. And I have about 100 people that watch my videos every day. And I was like, wow, like that is so cool. And I have people telling me, I look forward to your like daily inspiration every day. And I was like, why? It's only 60 seconds, right? It's not, I mean, I could talk for hours, but... It's helping me condense my words in 60 seconds. So never underestimate, you know, your words and your powers and, you know, what God has put in your heart to do, because it can change somebody's life and you wouldn't even know. So thank you again for listening to me. Take care, everyone. So this past Christmas, I was lucky enough to have my family around, and my granddaughter was with me. And one morning, I can't remember if it was, I think it was December 31st. Anyway, I decided I'm coming to church with Dad. And my granddaughter says to me, "Nana, do you believe in God?" And I stood there for a second, and I was like,
I don't know what to say to her. I have no answer. I don't know what to say to her. So I said, I believe in something. And ever since that day, I've been thinking to myself, wow, like, I've never really been asked that question, and I don't know. What do I believe in? So today, your message is this morning about we don't know why we're here, we don't know what we're seeking, made me feel a little bit of, okay, I'm okay. I don't got this, and it's okay to not get this, and I'll get there along the way, but it just gave me a little sense of comfort.
Now comes the time in the worship service where it's really our dedication of our offering. But what are we offering? We offer in the little white church at the back that Beth's husband made during COVID for us, and we've kept it. And I think it's such a wonderful place to put our offering. But we also offer so much more. Don't we? We don't even realize it sometimes, what we're offering to this church. But we are. Each one of you are offering something to this church. And that all together makes us a family. So let us pray over those offerings. Prayer of thanksgiving, God, to you. We give thanks for the many gifts and blessings you provide to this community every day. May our acts of giving inspiring other May our acts of giving inspire others ways that we may fish for your people, seeking out those who need your nourishing spirit. And we pray that you will multiply them and the gifts of all your faithful people like loaves and fishes, that your love may be revealed on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Short to cast the nets into an age of sea.
Loving God, we come before you in prayer, lifting to you the joys and concerns, the hopes and the dreams of our lives, the dreams of this church to live up to our mission of helping build a city where no one journeys alone. May we also be open to your voice in our lives, that we may see with new eyes and hear with new ears the direction you will have us go. Guide us as a congregation to become the church you want us to be. Bless, we pray, this gathering of your people, that we may grow and flourish in your love and grace for the purpose to which you have called us, to continue to be that church that makes everyone feel welcome. Hear our prayers for those whose lives have touched us, those who are in pain, those who are ill, those who grieve. May we touch their lives not only through our prayers, but through our lives and actions as well. May they feel your comforting touch as you embrace them in your love and give them peace. Guide us, bless us, uplift us, and hold us, for we are your children called to your purpose in your world. Hear our prayers, those spoken and those hidden in our hearts. We pray in the name of Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is, Lord, you give the Great Commission.
Thank you.
As the disciples walked with Christ so long ago, walk with Christ in your hearts and spirits. Feel the power of the Holy Spirit guiding your path. Know the love of God which is poured out for you and rejoice. Go in peace, and may God's peace go with you this week and always. Amen.